was reading reading a story, excuse me, in the New York Times this morning about quality time. And this concept that's pretty established in our culture now, that it's not how much time you spend with people, but it's the quality of the time you spend. And in a way, there's a kind of cognitive dissonance, because time, when it has quality, basically is a statement of ego presence. Time and ego are very intertwined. Paul Hederman, a friend of mine, said recently, he said, you really experience time when you experience pain. If you really want to know what time is, feel pain. Like there's no way out of time at that point. You're just locked into it. And pain is ego mind, it's ego structure. There's this extraordinary sense of suffering attached to time. The idea that time is passing, the idea that time is past, the idea that the time you're waiting for hasn't arrived. These are all very strong ego-minded concerns. Regret comes with time past. Hope was an expectation with time yet to arrive. And this time in the moment, when it is experienced as time, is locked in. It's very much time passing. And quality time is trying to make time meaningful, trying to give it profundity, purpose, value. I'm going to love somebody now. I'm going to have a good time now. I'm going to be invested in this moment. I'm going to spend real time with the kids, and they're going to know how much I love them. And there's something about that very idea that negates the truth of it, because what's really meaningful and valuable in terms of quality of anything is the presence you bring to it. And presence is not time-based. Presence is a release from time. Presence is the underlying absolute. Time occurs within it, but real presence is just now. Now. And if you have time breaking up the now, it becomes this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment. And maybe there's some truth to it, that that now is just this moment, this moment, this moment. But when you really deeply surrender, time ceases to be. It may be there when you're done surrendering. It may be there when you are no longer present. You can pretty much tell that you're no longer present because time comes back. It says, oh my God, you know, oh my God, I got to get back to it. I got to get back to the thing I have to do, the thing that's calling me, the thing that's important. Time-based stuff is important. To the ego, to the I, to the separate self, to the sense that there is a purpose that your life and as an ego entity fulfills. It's always about getting somewhere. It's always about some achievement down the road. It's always about having to present something, to arrive at something, to become something. So time-based life is a life usually of suffering, of struggle and suffering, because there's never enough of it, because it's always passing, because you can't hold it, because what you want from life and what you want in time is always, if delivered, already over. There's so much sadness accumulated with time. And the real freedom that we're all looking for is in letting that go. Liberation is letting go of time, letting go of the mind that wants time, letting go of the ego-minded self that thinks time is important, and just watching what happens. What happens is kind of nothing. There's just what is. There's just being. There's no trying to get to, looking back at, wondering about the next. It's about just going, aha, and being in this. And when you are in yourself, as opposed to your ego mind, when you're in yourself, there's this slowing down, a stillness. You may begin to feel what I call your environment. Your environment is, how do I feel? How do I feel? And you start to be aware of tension here, a kind of constriction here, a kind of sadness over there. You're aware of stuff. It's environmental. And you sit very quietly, and these things will draw your attention. And so you go into the thing that's happening right up here, and you go into it, and you just are with it. And when you're with something, it starts to relax. Becomes easier, softer, gentler. And you go to these various spaces of contraction, constriction, discomfort, dis-ease, and you just go into them because they're drawing your attention, and you just go, ah, 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 and you let them go. And it's easy when you're in a timeless present state to do that, because all you have to do is go there and go, surrender, surrender. And you start to get more and more open. That's a good word for it. Just open as opposed to closed. Released as opposed to imprisoned. You feel the sense of gentility, of these forces that have kind of held you into a certain kind of rigidity, letting go, and you're just there. And this thing goes deeper and deeper, and your consciousness, if you will, starts to go inward as opposed to out. And you start to feel more deeply something leading you into yourself. And there are various portals into yourself, and the chakras give you a very good kind of grounding in that. If your mind or your sensibility, your focus, your feelings start to move into your heart, you will start to feel it becoming a very big space, and you will go, oh. And you feel the sensation of being in this vastness within. And it has a kind of pull. The pull is not physical, it's more emotional. It wants to go in. It wants to be closer. It wants to be closer to something. Which is not anything really, but it wants to be closer to its source. It wants to be re-embraced, held, but not held in a constriction, held in a kind of protective, loving, mothering space. And the more you surrender in this timeless arena, the more this delicious, loving, kindly, gentle reality pulls you into something bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you start to feel, for all of its bigness, it's also very tiny. Very tiny. And so you let go of this mindful thing that's analyzing it. You let go of this thing that knows bigness from smallness, because now they're canceling each other out. And you're just in. And in even doesn't work because you're also out. You're just there. The only thing that pulls you out of there is the reintroduction of time. How long have I been there? A thought will arise out of nothing. How long have I been there? And then solidity, structure, form, content, ideas, mind events start to reassemble. And the next thing you know, and it can happen in a split second, you're back here, back, fully formed. And if you're lucky, you carry with you the sense of having just been nowhere, having just been at the source of what I will call quality. The idea of quality time is that you are in the space from which all quality emerges. If you can bring that quality back with you, you might actually experience quality time. You might actually for a moment feel, this moment, I am truly present with someone. I am really feeling connected to someone. I'm feeling this largeness, this freedom, this vastness, this beauty with someone. And so you have quality time. But if you can go into that space and just inhabit it, and then be with someone, you can actually have quality no time. Or let's just call it quality. You can have quality of being, period. By quality, I mean it's conscious, it's deeply felt, it has richness of content, it has vibrational expansiveness, it has a truly compassionate, caring aspect, it's very real, it's very dynamic, and that's what you bring into the moment. And so that's really what you are seeking when you seek quality time. But the problem is, the minute time comes into the equation, it takes all of that and makes it about a moment that is about to pass. Ah, I just had quality time with my granddaughter. Oh, I just had a quality moment with my wife. The minute you do that, you've just had it. It's over. It's done. You just found it. You had your quality moment. And you can actually go back to your diary and go, well, I had a quality moment. You know, I got the moment that I wanted. I got the moment that I needed. But the absurdity of that is that you can live in the quality. You can live in presence. You can live in this extraordinary place where you don't have to be time-based. Now, yes, we're human. Yes, we are ego entities. Yes, we have a ego-minded involvement with the world. Until you don't. Awakening is the wearing away of the time-based attachment. In other words, the loss of the thing that always wants to return to time as its place of security. The thing that wants to go back to the ego-minded personality as the place of comfort. Because once you start to really experience timelessness, once you really experience the vastness of your being, that's your freedom. That's where you find the joy of being. Going back to ego-mindedness is going back to time-based suffering. It's familiar, it's habitual, it's known. You're familiar with all of its content, and we draw back to it because we know it so well. But it's not where you want to live in the end. And you can't live there in the end because it's time-based. And because it's time-based, it will end. That's why you can't be there in the end, because it goes away. What's left when it goes away? What's left when time and ego mind and self and person disappears? What's left? This is left. Timelessness is left. And there's no you in it. There's no ego mind in it. But if you've practiced, if you've learned, if you've been gifted and graced with this ability to experience timelessness, what you realize is that not having a time-based self is the most beautiful condition imaginable. It's what is. It's the underlying reality of all of this. It's what happens before time recreates itself, before time reasserts itself. And then when time does come back into the picture, you can watch it, not from the creature who's caught by it, but from the timeless reality that sees it happening. And you can watch time work. You can see it. You can watch how it plays itself out. You can watch how it draws people into it and spits them out. You can actually have this space of vast timelessness watching time at work, watching how it draws you or doesn't draw you, how it manipulates you or doesn't manipulate you. You are free of time. Yes, it exerts some kind of unavoidable pressure. One is it ages the ego mind, it ages the body, it ages the thing which is feeling and touching the world on some level. And yes, it is leading the ego mind, which is still a partner in all of this experience, into this thing which we call death. Death will happen. But if you have given yourself over to the timeless, the same way you can watch time, and the same way you can watch the arriving of ego-minded thought and feeling and experience, you can watch the arrival of death. Now, I haven't done that, so I can only talk to you through a kind of projection of what that might feel like, but the understanding is you see the you disappear from the perspective of that which is infinitely, eternally present. I can only tell you from my practice, from the egolessness that has been allowed in this journey, that it is such a gift to be removed from time. It is such a gift to be removed from the demands of time. And as soon as time reconstructs itself and we get caught in it, which we all do, we see what a hard taskmaster it is. We see what it does to our inner system. Oh my God, we're late. Oh my God, we're not going to get there. Oh my God, what's going to happen with time if we don't make this and we don't make that? Oh my God, the movie's in 10 minutes. Oh my God, the dinner's not finished. Whatever the things are that time is, it's so unpleasant usually. There's not enough of it. We can't get what we want. Not within the time frame that we need it to happen. So letting it go is a gift. It's a gift. It's worth learning how to do. Meditation, the practice of sitting still, the practice of just being, is such a wonderful way of freeing yourself of that toxicity that time creates. It allows you to breathe into it and let it go, at least for a while. And then when you have this moment of finally saying, okay, enough of time, you will live in a world of timelessness in which you also then get wrapped up in time for moments and free yourself, but you do it with a completely different attitude. You totally know that time appears and disappears. It arises and falls away. That when you're caught in it, you won't be there long because it will dissipate unless you forget. And if you forget, then you gotta wait till something reminds you and says, hey, take a breath. Hey, meditate. Hey, go to class. Hey, whatever the thing is that tells you there is a place that will remind you, get out of this time place, because you don't have to live there. You have to engage it when you have to. There are times where it is obviously front and center. Like I said at the beginning of this talk, pain is a real, real insistent reminder of time. It's really potent, and it affects everybody. But this journey through life that starts to touch the timeless truth of it is worth it. It's worth finding, it's worth opening to, it's worth practicing to get it, it's worth letting it happen more and more, and at some point, the universe is willing, you will be liberated from time. Not from body, not from the idea and the reality of time, but from being caught by it. You will have a opportunity to say, not now. I'm in my timeless space. I'm in myself. That's what we're working toward. That's the gift of what we're doing here. If you haven't been able to do it, ask for help. Ask inside for help. You know, Rudy said, ask for help to surrender. What are you surrendering? You're surrendering your attachment to time-based reality. Time-based reality is one version of what's going on here. But it's not ultimate reality. It's temporal reality. And temporal reality is very insistent, but it's not the ultimate reality. It's part of it, but it's not the whole. You have a place that's liberated from that. Go there. Any questions? Yeah, you don't have to have questions. It's simple. It's really simple. It may make no sense. The only way that it will make sense is if you find that thing. If you find timelessness, and it's not hard. Once you find it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The only problem you will have is how quickly you go back to this. Watch. Oh my God. I got to do this. I got to do that. Then you're back. You're caught. You know, you got a meeting in 20 minutes. You know? And it can get you in huge trouble. You know, you drive too fast, you sideswipe somebody, all these things happen in time. But when you live from this other place, it just plays differently. And you can do it. This is not hard. It's just practice. It's just wanting it. It's just saying, this seems worth it. And it is. It's beyond worth it. It's reaching for what you are. So, good. go at it. Thank you, guys.